Good morning, Monsieur Pelu. Thank you for giving us, Radio Dabanga, this chance again to speak to you about the situation in Sudan. And I will start by a question about why sanctions were delayed until the final days of the Biden administration.
Well, that's simply not true. We've been doing sanctions since the war began, including a round of several sanctions this year, including against two of the Dagalo brothers. The Biden administration has been sanctioning bad actors in Sudan since the war began. We have been consistently increasing sanctions on both army and rapid support force actors. And during this year, that has included two of the brothers in the Dagalo family, as well as several companies that are involved in the weapons trade into Sudan. And this week, we built on those previous actions steadily up to the head of the RSF, Hameti, as well as a number of companies that are central to fueling the war inside Sudan. So this has been a consistent and escalating effort, which doesn't end with this week. These sanctions will remain in place, and the U.S. government will continue to look at how to raise the costs on those that are fueling this conflict and these atrocities.
But these unilateral actions by the United States, how they might affect the capabilities of the RSF?
Well, we, first of all, have been glad to see that our European partners, as well as the United Kingdom, have also been imposing sanctions, and we believe that they will continue to work with the United States government to increase costs so that it is not just unilateral. We've also seen the United Nations, with leadership from the United States, start to impose the Darfur arms embargo and put sanctions on that aspect. These sanctions have significant impacts on the ability of both Hameti as an individual and the Dagalo family to do business anywhere around the world. It makes it difficult for these companies that have been involved in fueling the conflict and the arms trade to operate within the international financial system. It also limits visa ability to travel in certain countries. And it also is significant in terms of showing the lack of legitimacy of the actors on either side who commit these kinds of atrocities. And we know that that is something that can be under consideration as the Rapid Support Forces makes the dangerous consideration of announcing its own government, which we believe would only worsen this horrific conflict. And I think this sort of action reminds people of the lack of legitimacy of this group, in the same way that where we see war crimes committed by the army, we have sanctioned that as well.
But a number of RSF advisors stated yesterday that these sanctions hinder peace and that they give a green light to the army and the Islamists to continue violations and crimes.
Just the opposite, actually. What we are showing is that the United States will continue to impose costs on all sides who commit atrocities against the people of Sudan. We have previously sanctioned members of the army. We have also recognized when the army has taken positive steps on expanding humanitarian access. So we show a consistent track record as the United States that when we see bad actions, we will call those out and we will impose costs. And where we see positive steps taken, we will recognize that as well. We believe the mediation should continue, and we believe that a national ceasefire could be achieved very quickly.
U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield talked yesterday about other upcoming sanctions. Will the sanctions include commanders of the armed forces?
Well, Ambassador Thomas-Greenfield is correct that we will continue to look to take decisive action on either the army or the rapid support forces or allied militias or companies that are fueling this war. And that does not end with this week's actions, whether it's additional time left in this administration. It's also been very clear from the United States Congress, from both Republicans and Democrats, that they want to continue to aggressively pursue sanctions on bad actors fueling the war in Sudan. We also know, of course, that the Army helped to create the Rapid Support Forces and that the Army joined with the Rapid Support Forces to prevent the civilian transition that is the aspiration of the Sudanese people. So we will continue to pressure both sides to push for restoration of peace and of that civilian transition. And there are there is time left in this administration, and there is certainly bipartisan support in Congress to continue being vigilant on raising the cost for bad actions in Sudan.
But can we say that you have consulted with the new administration regarding these sanctions or not?
We have a process in the United States of consulting with Congress, and there are transitional conversations in place. I will leave those at the discretion of the new team coming in. But I can tell you, I'm going to Capitol Hill again today, that we continue to be in very close contact, both Republican and Democratic leadership, and there is very strong consensus on Sudan and a commitment to the Sudanese people. The United States, of course, does not take sides between the warring factions. We have been on one side of this war all along, and that is the side of the Sudanese people. We continue to stand with the Sudanese people in their desire for an immediate ceasefire and a restoration of the civilian transition. And the Sudanese people have been very clear with me over the last year that they do want there to be justice and accountability for these bad actions, whether that's been horrific crimes like ethnic cleansing and crimes against humanity by the Rapid Support Forces, or where that has been systematic denial of food or targeting of civilian areas by the army. And we will continue along with our partners around the world to try to stand with the Sudanese people in those aspirations.
The president of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, presented a mediation between Sudan and the United Arab Emirates. How are you viewing this intervention of Turkey in this conflict?
We've had a positive reaction. I've had brief conversations with our Turkish counterparts. We really encourage more regional leadership to try to end this war. We know that Turkey has a long and recent history with the Sudanese people. So those conversations are continuing. And what matters most is the result and not the location. And the result has got to be peace. And that peace has got to come with a restoration of the sovereign transition to civilians. And I think that, we will see what comes of that, both in my time in this role and beyond.
My last question, Mr. Bellew, what is your message to the Sudanese people on the occasion of the new year, and your mission is coming to an end by the 20th of January?
Well, let me have one message on behalf of the United States and one message on behalf of me. On behalf of the United States, I just hope the Sudanese people remember how much we stand in solidarity with the people of Sudan. We have had a deep commitment to the people of Sudan for many generations across both Republican and Democratic administrations. And we have had a very long history of opposing the Rapid Support Forces from before it was even called the Rapid Support Forces. And we've been unequivocal in calling out its atrocities and also pushing the army side to restore the transition to the civilian democratic aspirations of the Sudanese people. And I believe that will continue both from the administration and from the Congress. Personally, I just want to say how inspired I am by the courage and the creativity of the Sudanese people in the face of famine, in the face of violence and grotesque atrocities, seeing the creativity of the emergency response rooms and resistance committees, seeing women play such a courageous role in this. I think one thing people should understand about this week is that a group of Sudanese women came to Geneva and demanded to have a voice in the negotiations. They demanded a code of conduct of Hemeti that he signed that reflected the experiences of women in Sudan. And it was violation of that code of conduct that Sudanese women helped to write that also led to the consequences this week because of the grave violations by the RSF. So it's that courage and that creativity that I've been inspired by. And I know I will continue to find ways to stand with the Sudanese people as I go into being a private citizen again. So I just thank people for the wisdom and the courage and the inspiration. And I thank you for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Bellew, for this interview with Radio Dabanga.